I really like the sermon that I wrote for today, and someday I'll preach it. But this is not that day, because it's an important day, as Al alluded to, as was alluded to at the lighting of the candles. Saddam Hussein was captured. He was pulled out of a hole in the ground yesterday on 12/13. And this is a significant event. Wherever you are on the war and the causes of war, it's important to have some sense of understanding of what we're doing, what happened yesterday, and what its significance could be for the people of the United States, the people of Iraq, the people of the Middle East, and really the people of the world. In some ways, it couldn't come at a better time in the calendar, because the capture of Saddam Hussein, who was, I think, almost everybody, including his family, would agree, a thoroughly bad man, comes at a time of shortening days and comes at a time when the world has a certain amount of natural anxiety that I talked about last week as the days get short and cold. But it's also a time, a season of celebration, because it gives a promise of a distant spring. Saddam is pulled out of his cave, hole in the ground on the outskirts of his village, where most people involved in American intelligence thought that he was, and they sent out over 1,500 raids to try to find him until they finally did. And they did. And this does not mark the end of a war. It doesn't mark the end of winter. It doesn't mark the end necessarily of anything. Maybe the end of the beginning of what it is that we are involved in Iraq, but not what we are involved in the world. We're not quite sure what to do with Saddam Hussein. It's always that problem that you have when you see dogs chasing cars. What happens if the dog catches the car? Well, we caught him, and he is not the cause of 9/11, but is a thoroughly evil, despicable, violent person. And I like to think a terribly small minority in the world of humanity. But we're not quite sure what we should do with him. Al suggested summary execution. I don't agree with my friend Al in this case, although I understand the emotion. Some are going to talk about a long trial. Milosevic gets 2 years of microphone time to tell his lies and to cross-examine the victims and survivors of victims. I would hate to see Saddam have 2 years of lies and vitriol on camera. We could turn him over to the Iraqi people, and if he were turned over to the Sunni and Baathist, he would probably be let off. If he were turned over to the Kurds or the Shia, he would probably be dismembered. One of our many problems in Iraq, and I wrote about this, was that the military part of invading Iraq was easy. The governing of Iraq and the forming a nation where no nation really had ever been except under a state of terror was and probably remains next to being impossible. One of the things that we never got in Iraq was somebody who signed a document of surrender. The analogies that people make with the occupation of Germany after World War II or of Japan after World War II. It falls down because they surrendered and someone in a position of authority said, fight no more. And that's an order, and that is on my behalf. In the case of Germany, obviously, that was not issued by Hitler, but somebody who was in control to call off most of the troops. There were people who continued to fight. And there was the emperor in Japan who called off most of the troops who at least got the news. There were some bitter enders on islands that 40 years later, but those that got the word listened to it. Iraq is a little bit different. Iraq is a little bit different because it isn't really a country in the way that Germany was a country or the way that Japan was a country. It is an amalgamation of tribes that don't like each other, of ethnicities that don't like each other, and of religions that don't like each other. But Saddam and his Ba'athist, loosely Sunni friends represent about 20% of the population and exercised about 90% of the power. America is in a very difficult place right now because we're trying to run something that is almost unrunnable and ungovernable. We don't want just the appearance of democracy, that is one election and the losers are then shot and there is never another election. Democracy in America does not mean one free election. It means there's a second election and a third election and a fourth election and the losers are not killed or persecuted. The losers get denied contracts and don't get good jobs and they get fired from administrations, but for the most part, they are not killed and they are not severely persecuted and there are more elections. This, to the extent that we want democracy, is what we have to want in the Middle East. Not simply one election where the Shia decide it's a religious state and that's the last election that they ever have. We have no idea how to guarantee this, how to do this, how to bring it about. Saddam could be helpful. I am not for his summary execution. I am for making a deal. I am for using his power and his prestige and making a deal to save his life in order to save other lives. Vengeance, to me, is not a great value. I am not willing to sacrifice my children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren in order to punish Saddam. If we can cut the deaths, if we can bring the semblance of peace sooner and save lives, and Saddam gets to live out his miserable life in a Club Med, I send him to the Club Med because it is more important for the living to stay alive than for one bad man to die. I want his cooperation, and I want him calling off his troops. It's a terribly messy situation that we have blundered into by conspiracy, by design, by accident, by lack of intelligence, in the full meaning of the term intelligence. And there is no easy way out that guarantees a peaceful world that ends the struggle that we are involved in now. There is only the taking of chances. One of the things that we need to understand in the United States is, number one, there is a significant difference religiously between the Sunnis and the Shia. The Sunnis, who are a majority of Islam, and Osama bin Laden is in a small sect of Sunnis called Wahhabi, and it is that virulent sect that has hijacked Islam and gives Islam its face to the world, and it doesn't represent the majority of Sunni and certainly not the majority of Muslims. That is a small group, and they are religiously motivated the Wahhabis. But the Ba'athists, who are the infrastructure surrounding Saddam, are socialist secularists. Saddam was never a religious person. He was supposed to be a socialist, but he was a socialist in the way that Hitler was a national socialist. It wasn't based on Islam. It wasn't based on a religious view. The Sunni in general differ from the Shia in that they believe that the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet, should go to his tribe. Not his bloodline, but his tribe. The Shia believe that the legacy of the Prophet, that all of Islam should be run and interpreted by the relatives of the Prophet, by the descendants of his daughter and nephew, son-in-law, Ali and Fatima. Those are the Shia. That's the fight that has been going on since around 750, where the followers, the early caliphs who followed Muhammad, were all, the first five were all assassinated. And the fourth one was Ali, his nephew and son-in-law, and that split between the bloodline and the non-bloodline has poisoned Islam from that time. For those of you who either read the Da Vinci Code or saw the special on TV, that's the critical issue that the Da Vinci Code raises in terms of Christianity. What if Jesus had had a child? Well, there's no theological or Christological reason why he couldn't have or shouldn't have, but there was a big institutional reason, which is, what would the European church have done had Jesus had a son or daughter or grandchildren, and what would their claim have been to the legacy? If you think things are tough in Northern Ireland, now you should only add to that a bloodline of Jesus into the mixture and you would have an even greater horror. But that's what Islam has faced. Islam is not a monolithic religion. It is broken into as many pieces and even of fundamentalistic pieces as Protestantism is. And so there has been this tremendous conflict going on for well over a millennium. It goes on today. And add to this the Kurds, who are ethnically different from the Arab Shia and the Arab Sunni. And add to this the Iranians, who while religiously the same as the Shia in southern Iraq, are ethnically somewhat different. And the Kurds are divided into Muslims and Christians. And need I tell you that the Muslims and the Christians don't necessarily get along together, and that even the Muslims don't necessarily get along together because they have tribal distinctions on top of the ethnic distinctions, on top of the religious distinctions. And we're going to bring democracy. It's a mess. It's a mess, and I long for the good old days when I had answers, where I knew if those fools would only do this. Well, it was easier to talk about the fools not doing this than it is to find a decent and human and humane way out of this. Capturing Saddam alive was important. Yesterday was an important day. What comes from it is still way up in the air. There was no chance of peace while Saddam was out there, either dead or alive, and the people didn't know which, because they would be gambling their lives by cooperating either with the United States, seen as an occupier, or with anyone whom we empowered, because they had been betrayed and abandoned before. When 11 years ago, when we went into southern Iraq, and the Shia welcomed the Americans with open arms and with parades and with flowers, which for some inexplicable reason Rumsfeld thought they would do again, we abandoned them and Saddam came down and slaughtered them. They would be really stupid to give up on Saddam doing that again as long as he was out there and we didn't know whether dead or alive, free or not. This changes that situation. How do we use it? How will we use it? This I can't answer. But one thing is very clear, that the phrase momentum that's used in sports and in politics has probably more truth among devout Muslims than it does in politics or sports in the West. For devout Muslims who believe that God micromanages the universe, that God is responsible for what goes on the interchange of the 57 and the 60, and I meant to talk to God about that. For the devout Muslim who believes that, a winning and a losing of battle has tremendous importance, because things only happen because God wills it to be so and allows it to be so. So that the capturing of Saddam is an opportunity for the United States, having won this battle, but certainly not this war, to act in a way that demonstrates our values to process, our values to dignity, our values to democracy, that gives us an opportunity to say, yes, we are not really going to abandon Iraq to the chaos that has tragically been stirred up should we unilaterally just leave and let the Shia and the Sunni and the Kurds slaughter each other and have only the last survivors win and rule. There's an opportunity here to try to live some of our values. I hope we have the staying power to do it. I hope that we have the staying power not to simply loot it and not to simply do a fast single election in order to say that we did before our own semi-free and fair and open election in November, but that we try to build some real institutions and try to build some real tolerance in Iraqi society. My suspicion is that peace there ultimately will be in terms of a federation of Kurds, of Sunni, and Shia, because I don't see them mixing well and playing well, but I think a federation that's geographically based is possible. It's not a perfect answer. There are no perfect answers in that part of the world. There is only comparative tragedy. But there is an opportunity to have credibility and to try to be makers of peace. That it comes at this time as we approach the longest day, the symbol of hope and symbol of rebirth, though there's a long winter ahead, though many are going to wither and die in this winter, though this is not about 9/11, we created the battlefield of 9/11, even though Iraq was not the source of 9/11. The jihadists were going to Iraq. There's an opportunity now to do something, to change something, if we have the wisdom, if we have the tolerance. That opportunity is now. I hope that we do. I hope that we don't do easy things, but hard things. I hope that we act not just in terms of symbols and let's make sure that he gets a big fancy show trial. I'm much more interested in peace, cooperation, and saving lives. We have an opportunity right now to save lives, but it goes against some of the instincts of pride that people and nation states and religions tend to operate under. Wars do end. They do. Peace is made, and it's never made with friends. Peace is made with enemies and with adversaries. We have made mistakes, but I do not believe that we are an evil people or an evil country. We have an opportunity to do some good, and that possibility is opened up by taking Saddam off the chessboard. But he's not completely off yet. He has not moves of his own choice, but moves of our choice about where we put him next, and it's an important decision. I'm not secure that I'm right in believing that it shouldn't be a fancy show trial. I'm not secure that I'm right in believing, as I do, that it is better to bargain with him. This is something that we ought to discuss in calm voices, because anyone who is sure that they are right about what to do in the Middle East should be ignored. This is an area of the world that should teach us humility. When the troops were sent out to slaughter the innocents, Herod's troops did not succeed in their prime goal. Let's not slaughter the innocents. Let's save as many of the innocents as we can with food and with a real conscious attempt to live our values and model our values to a world that I think could benefit from the example, not the imposition, but the example. And that's one of the things that gets forgotten in religious conversations and political conversations. We want to impose our values and impose our religions. It's much stronger to model them.